as the immigration debate evolves, the construction industry would like you to know a few things. And one of them is we don't have enough workers, and we need more foreign-born workers who are legal to help do the vital work of keep America moving. And so joining us today to discuss this is Brian Termael, who's Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce of the Associated General Contractors of America. And, Brian, it's a pleasure to have you with us. You've got some important information for us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure completely. This is a situation that we really have. We, on the one hand, don't want people coming into the country who aren't qualified, but on the other hand, we need to build ports, aviation, utility systems, and all sorts of things. And according to your survey, we don't have the workers to do it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. We survey our members every year about workforce shortages. And according to our most recent survey, which we put out in early January, 80% of our member firms, these are commercial construction firms that build everything you can think of in the country but single-family homes, 80% of those firms say they don't have enough workers to keep pace with demand. Now, the main reason, and frankly, our main priority, I know we're talking about foreign-born workers, which is an important topic, is we want more American-born young men and women to enter the construction industry. But for whatever reason, for the last 40 years in this country, we've just decided that we need to tell every high school student out there that they should go to college and work in the so-called knowledge sector. And so we actually spend less in dollars today than we did 30 years ago in what I knew as vocational education, what is now called career and technical education. So we have a domestic workforce policy that basically says we want to build a lot of things in this country, but we don't want our children to build them. So, yes, our top priority in Washington is let's boost funding for career and technical education. Let's get more American boys and girls, young men and women into the construction career track. But that's going to take years to fix, right? Like, it took us decades to mess that system up. It's going to take years to fix it. So we need to keep building in the meantime. I mean, you know, communities aren't going to be able to develop if they can't build new schools, if they can't build factories, if the companies that base there can't build their manufacturing plants, if you can't put in a new retail plaza, right? So how do we do that? Obviously, we don't want to have a bunch of undocumented people that we can't track, and frankly, we can't tax working in the industry. So we need to secure the border, and then we need to allow more people to come in on temporary, lawful work visa programs, right, so that we know who they are. We know that they've got a safe and secure background. We can tax them. And when we rebuild that domestic pipeline for getting our young men and women into these careers, you know, these visas can come to an end, right? Our priority isn't let's fill these jobs with people from overseas. Our priority is let's get young men and women from the United States into these careers, but we know it's going to take time, and we can't just lay the tools down and stop developing as a country for 4 or 5 years until we kind of build that pipeline.
Because we've been, the things that needed building, we've been kind of outsourcing them to China and every place else, haven't we?
Well, you know, the more expensive it becomes to build a factory because we don't have enough workers or other challenges with construction costs, then, yeah, the more tempting it is for a company to build that plant in Mexico or Canada, which I think is at the heart of the trade dispute that we're hearing so much about right now. Yeah, absolutely. It's that we, you know, and the last thing we want to do is, as we're trying to get all this manufacturing back into the country, Bob, the last thing we want to do is make it extremely hard to build that new factory, or extremely hard to build that new office or that new warehouse or shipping facility, right? And if we don't have the people to do that, then all the effort that we're making as a country to bring manufacturing back to the United States will be in vain if we don't have the workers to do it.
That's sure true. And right now we don't. So what's a country to do?
Well, that's a good question. Well, two things. Well, actually, three things. First, boost funding for career and technical education in the U.S. so we can get more of our young men and women into those careers. Two, got to secure the border, right? It's bonkers that we have a large pool of undocumented workers, and we keep letting more in. Now, that we're working on securing the border, but we also need to fix this kind of big pool of undocumented workers. Let's kick out the unsafe ones, the ones that are engaged in criminal activity, threats to national security, been ordered by a judge to leave the country. Let's get them out of here. And then the ones that have been here, yeah, they committed this original sin of coming to the country without permission. But every morning, the ones that are putting their boots on every day, showing up for work and kind of building our economy, let's give them some kind of earned pass to legal status. Maybe they pay a fee, maybe they go to the back of the line. But let's at least give them a chance to, like, we know who they are and we can tax them. And then let's create a temporary work visa program that allow people to come in with construction skills and continue to develop our economy while we rebuild that domestic pipeline for work.
Now, is this what you call the H-2B program?
Well, that's the existing visa program that provides about 6,000 to 12,000 visas a year for construction. You know, frankly, we could expand that, or in our industry, we talk a lot about a program we'd like to see called H-2C, which would be construction-specific. So right now, H-2B visa has about 60 to 120,000 visas a year. Again, only about 6 or 12,000 go to construction. Most of them go to hospitality, right, like the ski resorts, the big hotels, that kind of thing.
So one of the things that I've seen lately in the news, as a matter of fact, last night, they were talking about the number of naval vessels that we need to add to our Navy. And it's an incredible number. But how are we going to do that? Do we even know how to make ships anymore?
Well, that's a great question. And look, the same challenges the construction. I mean, building ships is essentially construction just of a different product than a building, right? And, and it's very similar skill set. And yeah, I don't know, if, you know where you are if you're seeing these ads, but I live in the D.C. Don't hold it against me, but I live in the D.C. area. We get tons of ads on our local TV to go work in the shipbuilding industry down in the Hampton Roads, right?
Yeah. You
know, they are desperate to find enough workers to bring it, to build these ships. Now, obviously, there's some security clearances needed if you're building a nuclear aircraft carrier, as there should be. But there's no reason that we can't, let's say we create this H-2C visa program. We bring more people in to work in construction to meet our labor shortages. That frees up other workers to help us rebuild our naval vessel, our naval fleet, right? We need more submarines. We need more cruisers. We need more destroyers. Probably need a few more aircraft carriers. And we need the people to do that. Do we have the know-how? Sure. We build amazing things in this country. And we build some of the world's best naval vessels. We just need more people available so we can build them at a higher rate.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you asked where we were. We're in the middle part of the state, exactly in Virginia. And so we're well aware of all this. Well, where can our listeners find out more information? And is there any place we can we call our congressmen and senators?
Yes, and in fact, since most people don't have like their senators or congressmen on speed dial, I don't have my members of Congress on speed dial. We've got a website we created called workforcedoneright.org. Again, workforcedoneright, all one word, .org. And if you go there, you can find more information about labor shortages in the construction industry, the solutions we suggest for the problem, information about creating a temporary work visa. And there's a button right on that site that you can click, and it'll pre-populate an email that you can easily send to your members of Congress. You put in your zip code, it'll pull up the right members of Congress for where you live. And you can change the language in that email if you want, but we just want to make it as easy as possible for people to be heard and to say things like, look, it doesn't make any sense that we don't invest in our children and that we aren't doing the things we need to do to make sure we've got enough people in construction so we can build our communities, build our national security, build the factories that we're desperately trying to get back into this country.
That sounds wonderful. Well, Brian Termeil, thank you so much for being with us, and thanks for the work that you do with the Associated General Contractors of America, and we really appreciate all the things you've said today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.